book of Revelations for yourself.
Tribulation.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world. Take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, October 12th, 2022, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast, coming to you from the beautiful Streams in the Desert Live home studio via StarWorldWideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is 2023, a time of historic crisis, chaos, and confusion. But before we get started, let us pray. Lord God, thank you for making this show possible here today and for Miss Robin's ingenuity. Lord God, we ask that the power, working, and anointing of your Holy Spirit empower this hour to be that which you have prepared and ordained and that the devil thought he could get away with getting rid of. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Holy Spirit, have your way in this day. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast. As we open the show for today, it is with a reminder that Jewish people all around the world are in the midst of the most joyous celebration of their year, which is the Feast of Sukkot, or biblically speaking, the Feast of Tabernacles, which for Jews is a time of great joy as it represents the Jewish exodus from Egypt and God's 40 years of protection and provision as they traveled through the Sinai Desert on their way to the Promised Land, which is called the Land of Israel. For Christians, it represents the soon coming end gathering of the harvest of mankind who will spend their eternity with the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. With that said, let us now take a look at what is going on in the worldwide financial sector, which every day moves us closer and closer to the day that the Lord Jesus Christ will return for his praying, ready, watching, and waiting bride as he returns in the rapture, which at the same time will signal the beginning of the time of the tyrannical open rule and reign of the one who is called Satan's Antichrist beast and his false prophet, to bring in the system of the beast, which is characterized by the mark of the beast. This time is as well known as the time of great tribulation and the time of Jacob's or Israel's trouble. In our first piece of the day, we will be taking a look at just how, as Mr. Michael Snyder puts it in part of the title for this piece, that the U.S. economy is really starting to come apart at the seams. This piece is dated October 11th, 2022, and can be found at themostimportantnews.com. The full title for this piece is "Even Banksters are being forced to admit that the U.S. economy is really starting to come apart at the seams." Of which Mr. Snyder simply opens by stating, "It's wake-up time," just before going on to say, "For months, there has been a tremendous amount of denial out there. So many of the experts assumed that the Federal Reserve and other central bankers had everything under control and that things would return to normal before too long. But that hasn't happened. Instead," says Mr. Snyder, "the wheels seem to be coming off the bus and nobody seems to know what to do. The Fed appears to be determined to keep raising interest rates in a desperate attempt to fight inflation, and this has forced other central banks all over the globe to raise rates as well in order to keep their currencies from absolutely tanking. But all of these interest rate hikes are taking us into a major global economic downturn, and central bankers in Europe are literally screaming at the Fed to end the madness. But the Fed is not going to end the madness," says Mr. Snyder. "And so things are going to get really bad. In fact," says Mr. Snyder, "the Bank of America is now projecting that the U.S. economy will lose, listen up, my friends, 175,000 jobs a month during the first quarter of 2023. As pressure from the Fed's war on inflation builds, non-farm payrolls will begin shrinking early next year, translating to a loss of about 175,000 jobs a month during the first quarter," the bank said. "Charts published by Bank of America suggest job losses will continue through much of 2023. The premise is a harder landing rather than a softer one." Michael Gaspin, head of the U.S. economics at Bank of America, told CNN in a phone interview on Monday. Mr. Snyder then chimes in by stating, "In my opinion, if our job losses are that small during the first 3 months of next year, I think that will be a huge win." He then goes on to share, another bankster, J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon, is also deeply concerned about the future of the U.S. economy. "But you can't talk about the economy without talking about stuff in the future. And this is serious stuff," Dimon said, citing inflation, quantitative easing, and Russia's war with Ukraine. He continues by saying, "These are very, very serious things, which I think are likely to push the U.S. and the world. I mean, Europe is already in a recession, and they're likely to put the U.S. in some kind of a recession, listen up, my friends, 6 to 9 months from now," he said. Mr. Snyder's reply to that is the same as mine, my friends, and is that actually the U.S. economy is already in a recession right now. Mr. Snyder continues by further stating, "But I agree that things will soon get a whole lot worse." Mr. Snyder then notes, "At this point, even the most optimistic woman on Wall Street is warning of disaster." He says, ARK Investment Management's Kathy Wood says that what the Fed is doing has the potential to create a deflationary bust in this country. Could it be that the unprecedented 13-fold increase in interest rates during the last 6 months, likely to be 16-fold come November 2nd, but has shocked not just the U.S., but the world and raises the risk of a deflationary bust? To that, Mr. Snyder says, "The Fed giveth and the Fed taketh away." He then continues by noting that Kathy should understand that very well by now. Just before going on to say, she looked like a genius on the way up, but the ride down is going to be very painful for her and for everyone else that was, he said, swimming in a piles of cash during the boom years. Mr. Snyder then says, under normal conditions, I am sure that the Fed would love to ride to Wall Street's rescue. But that isn't going to happen because Fed officials are scared to death of the inflation monster that they played a major role in creating. All over America, consumers and businesses are being absolutely devastated by rapidly rising prices. He further states that until inflation is under control, the Fed is going to continue to raise rates, and that might take quite a while. As he continues, Mr. Snyder says, so for now, stocks and bonds are just going to keep going lower and lower. He then points out that on Monday, the NASDAQ actually hit the lowest level in 2 years. Stocks closed lower on Monday, with the NASDAQ composite index falling to the lowest level in 2 years, as tech shares continue to be the hardest hit in this bear market because of spiking interest rates. The NASDAQ composite closed at 1.04% lower at 10,542.10, hitting its lowest close since July 2020, weighed down by a slump in semiconductor stocks such as NVIDIA and AMD. The S&P 500 also fell 0.75% to $3,612.39, dragged down by semi stocks and dips in major tech names like Microsoft, while the Dow Jones Industrial Average shed 93.91 points, or 0.32%, to close at 29,202.88. Mr. Snyder then shares a startling fact when he says the amount of financial wealth that has already been wiped out is truly frightening, but much worse could be on the horizon. If stocks and bonds continue to plunge, eventually we will see forced selling by pensions and other large investors. And at that point, we truly will be in the midst of a very bitter nightmare. Indeed, pensions don't even have to have a near-death experience like in the UK. If the value of underlying assets drops enough, the forced selling will begin sooner than later. And once the capitulation really kicks in, as even formerly bullish Goldman strategists warn, followed closely by mass layoffs, only then will we find just how determined Powell is to pull a Volcker 2.0 and blow up the U.S. economy and the markets before he's fired by the president as his parting gift for unleashing the worst recession since the global financial crisis. And that's one place I think he has it absolutely wrong, because that is exactly what they are vying for. They want to blow up the U.S. economy and markets because they want to bring in their CBDCs, my friends. Do not be fooled. Mr. Snyder says, I couldn't have said it any better. Well, I hope what I said was included in that, my friends. Mr. Snyder goes on to say, but at least we are still in better shape than Europe. Continuing on, he next shares a U.S. Army Special Forces veteran named Michael Yon recently told SiriusXM's Breitbart News Daily what he believes conditions in Europe will soon be like. You said some people talk about energy as if Everything's interchangeable, he says, as if solar panels and wind mills and nuclear plants can replace natural gas, which they simply cannot. He noted that of the 26 major plants in Europe that produce nitrogen-based fertilizers, all are either closed down or on the verge of closing. This will lead to famine, he says. It's just mathematics at this point. The loss of the Nord Stream pipeline already has driven people in Germany and other European nations to cut down trees to heat their homes. People are going to literally freeze to death in Germany, Jan said. They're going to freeze and then they're going to starve. At this point, Mr. Snyder says, of which I do agree with, personally, I believe that the winter that begins in 2023 will be much worse than this upcoming winter for Europe. He says, at least the Europeans had the luxury of storing up Russian natural gas ahead of time for this winter. Next winter, they will not have that opportunity. And that is when things will get really insane. As Mr. Snyder moves to close his piece, he says, but what everyone should be able to agree on is the fact that we are heading into a truly historic crisis. He then ends his piece by stating, we will soon see things happen that once would have been unimaginable for most people. He says, I would very much, much encourage you to do what you can to get prepared in advance, because the road ahead of us is going to be incredibly challenging. And on that very thought-provoking note, my friends, I will be right back after the break so that we may continue on with our quest into the investigation of 2023, a time of historic crisis, chaos, and confusion.
King Yeshua, hallelujah.
And we thank Citizen Israel for that beautiful Sukkot song. I hope you enjoyed it, my friends. The Feast of Tabernacles to us who are Christians. Okay, now, my friends, in our next piece of the day, dated October 2nd, 2022, written by none other than, you got it, Mr. Michael Snyder of the economiccollapseblog.com, he asks the question in the title of his piece, which is, will the collapse of Credit Suisse be Europe's Lehman Brothers moment? Of which Mr. Snyder opens by pointing out that the parallels between 2008 and 2022 just keep getting stronger and stronger. 14 years ago, the collapse of Lehman Brothers sent a massive wave of panic through global financial markets and is widely considered to be the key event that plunged us into a horrifying financial crisis that we still talk about this day. He continues by sharing, well, now an even larger bank appears to be on the brink of collapse. And analysts all over the world are deeply concerned about what that will mean for the global financial system if it does fail. He further states that right now, Credit Suisse is one of the most important banks in the entire world. He says, if you are not familiar with Credit Suisse, the following is some good background information that comes from Wikipedia. Credit Suisse Group AG is a global investment bank and financial services firm founded and based in Switzerland. Headquartered in Zurich, it maintains offices in all major financial centers around the world and is one of the 9 global bulge bracket banks, providing services in investment banking, private banking, asset management, and shared services. It is known for strict bank client confidentiality and banking secrecy. The Financial Stability Board considers it to be a global, systemically important bank. Credit Suisse is also primary dealer and Fortrex counterparty of the Fed. From here, Mr. Snyder shares, Credit Suisse is truly one of the central hubs of the entire international banking system. He continues by stating that if it were to fail, the ripple effects would be felt very deeply in literally every nation on the planet. Mr. Snyder then says, unfortunately, it is being reported that Credit Suisse could be on the verge of collapse. And we are being warned that if it does collapse, it could cause a shock similar to that caused by the bankruptcy of the U.S. bank Lehman Brothers in September 2008. Speculation surrounding the future of the Swiss banking giant has been going on for several months. I'd say years, my friends, because I can trace this all the way back to 2015 in all their debacle that's been going on. In the markets, in business and political circles, as well as social networks. Let's read it again. Speculation surrounding the future of Swiss banking giant has been going on for several months. In the markets, in business and political circles, as well as on social networks. The number two Swiss bank and one of the largest banks in the world is in deep trouble and is currently fighting for its survival. A negative outcome is likely to cause a shock similar to that caused by the bankruptcy of the U.S. bank Lehman Brothers in September of 2008. This event triggered one of the most serious financial and economic crises since the Great Depression. Mr. Snyder shares that when Lehman Brothers collapsed in 2008, it had, listen up, my friends, $639 billion dollars in assets. He continues on by pointing out that in late 2022, Credit Suisse currently has $1.5 trillion of assets under management. He then goes on to say that the collapse of Credit Suisse would create a wave of panic that would be unlike anything that we have ever seen since the last financial crisis. But new CEO Volrich Koerner insists that everything is just fine. That's what they always say, my friends, just before it goes boom. There has been plenty of movement around Credit Suisse over the weekend. On Friday, CEO Volrich Koerner sent around a memo saying that the bank had a strong capital base and liquidity position. Whilst the senior executives spent their weekend doing their best to reassure large clients, counterparties, and investors, according to the Financial Times. The memo from the CEO also noted that the bank was at a critical moment as it prepares for a restructuring, the details of which are to be, listen up, my friends, revealed on October 27th. That is, if they make it that long, my friends. Only the Lord knows for sure. Expectations are that some 5,000 jobs could be cut with assets sold off. Some analysts are saying it won't be enough. However, according to a Bloomberg report, Credit Suisse is estimated to need a further 4 billion Swiss francs, even after asset sales, to fund the restructuring, with a capital raise touted as the most likely option. At this point, Mr. Snyder asks, are the markets buying what Koerner is selling? He then goes on to answer his own question with a resounding nope. And then says, Credit Suisse credit default swaps just keep going the wrong direction. And that means that investors are starting to get really, really nervous. Credit Suisse's credit default swaps, or CDS, is a derivative instrument that allows an investor, listen to this craziness, to swap their credit risk with another investor. Surging on Friday, reflecting the market perception of increased risk. It is now approaching the highs seen during the 2008 financial crisis, which saw U.S. investment bank Lehman Brothers go bankrupt. Mr. Snyder then says, at this point, just about everyone can smell blood, and it certainly isn't going to take much to set off widespread hysteria. He says, this is such an ominous time for Europe. The EU is headed into the worst energy crisis that it has ever experienced. The bond market is starting to go bonkers, and now giant financial institutions such as Credit Suisse are being greatly shaken. Mr. Snyder then shares, Martin Armstrong was recently interviewed by Greg Hunter, and he boldly declared that a crisis in banking will start in Europe. Well, I'm glad he's tuned in, because I've only been saying that since probably 2008 or before. So could Europe suck the rest of the world down the tubes, Armstrong says? Oh, absolutely. Europe is the problem. The crisis in banking will start in Europe. The debt is collapsing. They have no way to sustain themselves. The debt market over there is undermining the stability of all the banks. You have to understand that reserves are tied to government debt. says Mr. Armstrong, and this is the perfect storm. Yes, the U.S. stock market will go down short term. We are not facing a 1929 event or a 90% fall here. Europeans, probably by January of 23. As this crisis in Ukraine escalates, anybody with half a brain is going to take whatever money they have and get it over here, meaning bringing it from Europe to the United States, which the United States, my friends, is hoping that that's what will prop us up. But I don't think that's in the cards. It's not going to work. At this point, Mr. Snyder chimes in with, I'm not as optimistic about U.S. financial markets as Armstrong seems to be. Of which, my friends, concerning this point, I must say, I'm in full agreement with Mr. Snyder, who then goes on to say, yes, Europe is currently in worse shape, but things are starting to, listen up, my friends, unravel quite rapidly here, too. In fact, says Mr. Snyder, we just witnessed the worst month for U.S. stocks since the very early days of the pandemic. September was a horrible month for stocks. The Dow fell nearly 9%, its worst monthly drop since March 2020, when pandemic lockdowns started in the United States. The index ended Friday deeply in the red, too. Mr. Snyder continues by stating that overall, this is the very first time that the Dow Jones Industrial Average has been down for three quarters in a row since 2015. And he says it is the very first time that the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ have been down for three quarters in a row since 2009. Mr. Snyder, as Mr. Snyder moves to close his piece, he says a lot of people out there still seem to think that things will return to normal very soon. And unfortunately, all of those people are very wrong, he says. The truth is, my friends, the truth is that we are right now on the precipice of the sort of historic meltdown that I have been relentlessly warning was coming, says Mr. Snyder. Which is, my friends, a direct reference to his book, A Seven-Year Apocalypse, of which holds a 4.5-star rating on Amazon. But as for me, I have not read this book, nor can I therefore endorse it at this point. Mr. Snyder ends his piece by stating that our leaders kicked the can down the road for a long time, but now they are running out of road. A day of reckoning has arrived for Europe. And soon, a day of reckoning will arrive for us as well. So buckle up your seatbelts, he says, because we are in for a very bumpy ride. Okay, my friends, we are truly at the door that leads to eternity. It is high time and way past time for some to get their spiritual houses in order. We have, my friends, many people out on the internet today that are talking about physical preparation for what lies just ahead. Many of them even use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a marketing tool to rake in the clicks, which funds their side hustle. So the next time you are on one of these sites, please take the time to notice that that many come off as being very spiritual, but their message lacks a couple of things. Number one, they lack the indwelling power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit to propel their message into the hearts of the listener. And number two, is that they never tell you that the most important thing that you need to do in the here and now, in preparation for what lies dead ahead, is to begin a faithful and steadfast relationship with the only Savior of mankind, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, in the natural, they always have a get-rich-quick plan, which involves you sending them your hard-earned money. But they never say to you that if you are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and filled with the indwelling power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit, that you are in good hands and that the Lord God has already seen tomorrow and will meet you and your family at the point of any and every need that you may incur. Our encounter, my friends, in the dark days that lie dead ahead. My friends, in John chapter 14, Jesus has many, many things to say to us here at the end of time as we have known it. Please listen closely for the keys to making eternal life in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Set forth beginning in verse 1, going forward, where Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God." These people are always talking about get your life right with God, get your life right with God, but they never tell you how to do it. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me," Jesus said. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am," Jesus said, "there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Well, my friends, the word way means method. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way," meaning I am the method, "the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Jesus continues by stating, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me," Jesus said, "has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works," Jesus said. He goes on to say, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." Jesus then steps up his warnings to all when he begins by stating, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask of me, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name," Jesus said, "that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it," Jesus then says. "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Jesus then says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Jesus then says, at that day. And now this day, my friends, is in reference to the day of Pentecost when the Lord God sent back his Holy Spirit, not only to walk with men, but to be within men, just as the Lord Jesus Christ described. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Jesus then says, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, in regards to Judas who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not the Judas that is speaking here. Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus then says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye heard is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Jesus continues by saying, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, said Jesus, whom the Father will send in my name, on the day of Pentecost, my friends, because that's what the day of Pentecost is all about, the receiving of the indwelling power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And the way the Holy Spirit does that, my friends, is you reading the Word of God and the words of Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit can bring them back to you at the time that you need them. Jesus then says to all that belong to him concerning the days that lie dead ahead, peace I leave with you. My peace, Jesus said, I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And it was only when Jesus Christ went back to the right hand of the Lord God that the indwelling power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit was sent to dwell in men with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, as outlined in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, my friends. And now, said Jesus, I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Here Jesus reminds us that because we now have the power, working, and anointing of his heavenly Father, who is God Almighty, at work in our lives, that is, if we have surrendered our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ by asking him to forgive us of our sins, and have then sought the Lord God for the indwelling power, working, and anointing of his Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, Jesus says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence, Jesus said. My friends, today is the day of salvation. Those are the words of the Lord God. They're not my words. They are the biblical words of the Lord God. Today is the day of salvation, and it is the day, my friends, that you need to be ready, watching, and waiting for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because for all who are not ready at his appearing in the rapture, for them, it will be as one who comes as a thief in the night. My friends, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 is how you begin a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. These are biblical words, my friends. This is not some man's formula. This is God speaking from heaven to the ears of all mankind that will receive his word as they are wooed and prompted by his Holy Spirit. My friends, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, as I said before, is how you begin a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Apostle Paul says, by way of the indwelling power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit, that if thou or you shall confess with thy or your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ as being your Lord, Master, Savior, soon coming King, and Messiah, and you and shall believe in thine heart, in other words, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him, being Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, I like to say right living in Jesus Christ, and the word of God goes on to say, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, who is he? He's Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Who is he? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God finishes this set of scriptures out with saying, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friends, the name of the Lord is Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus came and he paid the price for our sins. He was sinless, my friends. He paid the price through the shedding of his precious and holy blood upon the cross of Calvary for us. And by his stripes, we are healed, the Lord God says in his word. We are waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to return for us who belong to him. Those who belong to him are those who have come to the end of themselves. They realize that they are not able to do what it takes to reach eternity. Well, they can reach eternity, my friends, but if it's without the Lord, it'll be eternally in the lake of fire. But we have come to the end of ourselves and realizing that we cannot reach eternal life. That was only paid for through the precious and holy shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and make his home there, and begin to seek the Lord God for the indwelling power, working, and anointing of his Holy Spirit, which is he who will bring us through the darkest days that this world can ever offer. Today is the day that you need to do that, my friends. For soon and very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ will have come in the rapture. And for all those who are ready, watching, waiting, and praying for his imminent return, and walking faithfully with him in a steadfast relationship, obeying the commandments of God throughout the Old and New Testament, my friends. Jesus came not to abolish the law, my friends, but to complete it. That's why he is our Lord, Master, Savior, soon coming King, and Messiah. And whatever he has commanded us to do through the Word of God, we are to do it so that we will be worthy to be received of him when he returns for those who belong to him at his appearing in the rapture. My friends, and if you're within the hearing of my voice today and you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ and you think that, oh, I don't need to worry about that. I've got time. I'm young. I'm this. I'm that. I can do it when I get ready to die, whatever. Well, my friends, you know, the Lord is watching and he knows all your thoughts. He is the God who knows the end from the beginning. So therefore, he already knows what you think, say, and do, and what you will think, say, and do, even in the future. So, my friends, today is the day of salvation. Please don't wait until it's too late. You may find yourself one day in outer darkness where there's nothing but weeping and gnashing of teeth, and then later cast into the lake of fire if you're not ready when the Lord Jesus Christ either comes in the rapture or calls your name ahead of time. My friends, we are so close to the end of this world as we have known it, and there's no turning back. Nobody can come into office that's going to save us. Only Jesus Christ can save us. And today, my friends, while it is still yet called today, if you would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, or you would like to renew your vows unto him, please say this prayer with me from the depths of your heart, not your mind, but the depths of your heart. It's between you and the Lord. It's not between me and the Lord. It's only between me and the Lord for myself. But it's between you and the Lord today. If you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, he's there ready and waiting with open arms. If you need to come back to the Lord that you've backslidden and you've gotten away from the Lord and the things of the Lord and your speech and your activities and your actions and your demeanor and your fruit, all say that you need to return to the Lord Jesus Christ, then kick Satan to the curb. He's a liar. He's trying to tell you that you could never come back. You can come back, my friends, as long as you feel the drawing of God's Holy Spirit. There does come a time in some lives that the Lord God will cut a person off. It's all throughout the Bible, and he will not receive them. But as long as you feel the pricking in your heart of the Holy Spirit, your day is today, my friends. Do it while it is still called today. With that said, let us pray the prayer of salvation. Please pray this prayer out loud with me and from the depths of your heart, because the Lord is the one that's listening to us all. It has nothing to do with me. With that said, let us pray. Dear Lord God, we humbly come before your throne and bow down spiritually speaking. Lord God, we thank you for the precious and holy gift of your one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ, who paid the price for my sins by the shedding of his precious and holy blood upon the cross of Calvary. Lord God, thank you for this insurmountable gift that no one but you could ever give. Lord Jesus, I humbly come before your throne this day and bow down spiritually speaking and ask that you would please forgive me of my sins. I know I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And Lord Jesus, I know that you are the only Savior of mankind. And Lord Jesus, I know that you are faithful and true to bring me into the family of God. If you can see that I'm speaking to you this day from a broken and contrite heart and spirit. And therefore, Lord Jesus, I am confident in knowing that you have now received me and that I am a part of the eternal family of heaven. And I am waiting for you to return soon and very soon. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. And Holy Spirit, have your way in this day, in my life, and forevermore. And help me to seek for the indwelling power, working, and anointing of the Lord God's Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, that I may be powerful in word and in deed and by your Spirit, Lord God, to do the things that you've called me to do in this life. Holy Spirit, have your way in this day. Please bring all things to my remembrance. Help me to know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly for myself, and to be ready, watching, waiting, and praying for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ and that sound of the shofar. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray, amen and amen. Well, my friends, today you have had the opportunity to hear the word of God. I pray, fill the power of his Holy Spirit in your life and get ready, spiritually speaking. And as you listen to the carnal preppers of this world, if you have an opportunity, maybe you would just drop them a line sometime to say, I hear you say, get ready with physical preparations, but do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because as Christians, it is our job to point others in the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all may be ready, my friends, because we know, and the Lord has told us, not all will be ready, but at least everyone will have had a chance to be ready. With that said, my friends, I have really enjoyed our time here today, and we got a little quirky start today, my friends, but the Lord prevails. And with that said, I just want to say that it's a wrap. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee his perfect shalom or peace. Have a wonderful Sukkot or Feast of Tabernacles. Shalom and blessings until we meet again.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf, read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldwideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all, now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?